Imagine a silent giant for a moment, a
Yeah.
company just so vast, so connected globally, and systems are basically behind thousands of other businesses. Now, picture that giant just going dark. Websites down, orders stopped. That's pretty much what happened to Ingram Micro, the huge IT distributor, back in July 2025. It really is, well, a stark reminder, isn't it, that today, nobody, not even a massive firm with what, 23,000 people in 57 countries, no one's totally safe from cyber attacks. So today we're going to dive deep into this specific ransomware hit.
And for you listening, what we really want to do today, our mission, let's say, is to help you get a real handle on what exactly went down here. Who are these guys? SafePay? They're pretty aggressive.
Incredibly aggressive, yeah.
And crucially, why this whole thing matters for your
Yeah.
security. Like, what are the lessons here?
Right, the practical takeaways.
Exactly. Whether you're in a big company or running a small shop, because if you kind of zoom out, this isn't just some random event, is it?
No, not at all.
It really reflects this rapidly changing and, frankly, more aggressive cyber landscape we're all dealing with. It needs attention.
Okay, so let's get into the timeline. The disruption first hit Ingram Micro when? July 3rd, 2025. That's when their main website and, importantly, their global online ordering systems just start a major outage. You could tell immediately something serious was up.
And it didn't take long for confirmation.
Right. So just 48 hours after that initial outage, Ingram Micro came out and confirmed it. They'd found ransomware lurking on some internal systems, and the culprit pointed to was this group, SafePay. You mentioned they were aggressive, but they're also quite new, aren't they?
That's what's fascinating here. Yeah, relatively new, but really formidable. They only really popped up on the radar back in September 2024. But despite that short time frame, they've shown, well, exceptional skill and just a real ruthless streak.
And they have this signature move, this double extortion thing.
Exactly. That's their calling card.
Oh.
They don't just encrypt your files, locking you out. Oh no. They also steal your sensitive data before encrypting. So it's a one-two punch. Pay us to get your systems back. And pay us so we don't leak your secrets.
Which totally changes the game, doesn't it?
Completely. Because suddenly, just having backups isn't, the silver bullet anymore. Even if you can restore your systems, they still have your data. The damage to trust, to reputation,
Yeah.
that's already happening. It really forces you to think, how do we stop the data leaving in the first place?
Okay, so how do they get in? What's SafePay's usual way in?
Well, their typical approach, what we've seen often, is getting initial access through VPN gateways.
The virtual private network, right, for remote access.
Precisely. And here's the kicker.
If
They often use valid credentials.
valid, so not guessing passwords.
Not necessarily brute forcing, no. These credentials might come from information stealing malware that infected someone's machine earlier. Or they could literally be bought off dark web marketplaces. It's depressingly common. And for Ingram Micro, it looks like their Global Protect VPN platform was that initial weak point.
Wow. Okay, so they get in using legitimate credentials, basically walking through the front door. What kind of damage did they do then? What data did SafePay claim they actually got away with from Ingram Micro?
Well, according to SafePay's own claims, it was extensive, a real treasure trove for criminals. We're talking financial statements, internal accounting records, valuable intellectual property documents.
Oof, IP.
Yeah. Plus legal docs, employee personnel files, customer information databases, even banking and financial details. The sheer scope of that claim data theft is, well, it's staggering. Really highlights the severity.
And the stats around SafePay's growth are just wild, right?
They really are quite alarming. Think about this.
Yeah.
By March 2025, just a few months after emerging, they were already ranked the fourth most active ransomware group globally.
Fourth already? Wow.
But it gets worse. Just 2 months later, May 2025, they shot up to number one, the most active ransomware group. They claimed 58 victims just in
Man,
that 1 month.
58. Good grief.
Yeah. And their total victim count through May 2025 was already at 198 organizations. Geographically, they seem to hit the US, the UK, and Germany hardest. And they have this tactic, they call them wave attacks.
Wave attacks.
Yeah, where they'll just blitz a region, sometimes hitting more than 10 organizations in a single day. It's like they're trying to overwhelm defenses through sheer volume.
And they don't seem picky about who they hit either. It's not just tech companies or finance.
Not at all. They've gone after healthcare systems, schools, universities, IT firms, financial services, even government agencies. It seems
Yeah.
like if you have data and you're vulnerable, you're a potential target. No sector preference.
And we saw this before Ingram Micro, right? There was that attack on Microlise.
That's right. Microlise, the UK telematics company, that was another high-profile hit. SafeBay claimed they nabbed something like 1.2 terabytes of data there. And then they gave him just 24 hours to pay up. Very aggressive deadline.
Fast and ruthless. Okay, so facing this, what did Ingram Micro do? What was their immediate response? Well, they acted fast, which is crucial. First step, take the affected systems offline. Stop the bleeding, basically. Prevent the ransomware from spreading further internally. Then they brought in the big guns, leading cybersecurity experts, to investigate what happened, how it happened. They also notified law enforcement, which is standard procedure, and started implementing, you know, extra security measures right away to try and bolster their defenses.
And the latest is they've managed to get their website back online, which is a big step for their operations. They're trying to be transparent, putting out security incident notifications, keeping people updated on the ongoing investigation. But this whole situation brings up that really thorny question for any company hit like this. Should you pay the ransom?
Yeah, I mean, the official advice is always don't pay, right? From law enforcement, from security experts.
Strongly advised against it, yes.
But put yourself in Ingram Micro's shoes, a global, giant, downtime costing who knows how much per hour, impacting thousands of partners and customers. Isn't the pressure just immense to just pay up and make it go away quickly? What's the hidden downside there?
Oh, the pressure is absolutely enormous, no question. But there are really good reasons for that advice not to pay. First, like we touched on, there's zero guarantee paying will get your data back, or that they'll delete the stolen copies. You're trusting criminals. Second, and maybe more importantly, paying tells the attackers and other groups watching that you are willing to pay. It basically puts a target on your back for future attacks.
Ah, right. You become known as someone who pays.
Exactly. And you're essentially funding their criminal enterprise, enabling them to attack others. So the hidden cost is perpetuating the whole ransomware cycle. So, okay, if paying isn't the answer, what is? Prevention is key, obviously, starting with that VPN security.
Right, since that was the likely entry point here, what does good VPN security look like?
It starts with robust multi-factor authentication. MFA, that's absolutely critical. Not just a password, but a second factor, like a code from an app or a text. Make MFA mandatory for all VPN access, no exceptions. Then you need regular audits of who has VPN credentials. Are they still needed? Are they strong? Also, network segmentation is important. Don't let a VPN connection grant access to your entire network. Limit it to only what's necessary for that user. And of course, keep the VPN software itself patched and up to date. Vendors release security fixes for a reason.
Okay, MFA, credential audit, segmentation, patching, that makes sense for the VPN. But what about the bigger picture, beyond just the VPN?
Yeah, you need a more comprehensive security framework. We're talking things like zero trust architecture.
Zero trust, assume nothing is safe, verify everything.
Pretty much. Don't trust implicitly just because someone is inside the network perimeter. Verify constantly. Then you need endpoint detection and response EDR systems. Think of these as like smart security cameras and guards on every single computer and server. They're constantly looking for suspicious behavior, not just known viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Regular security checkups are vital too. Penetration testing, where you hire ethical hackers to try and break in, is invaluable.
Finding the holes before the bad guys do.
Precisely. And you cannot, absolutely cannot, forget the human element, employee training.
Ah, yes, the phishing emails and social engineering.
Still huge vectors for attacks. Staff need to be trained regularly on how to spot phishing attempts, suspicious links, dodgy attachments. It's a fundamental layer of defense.
Okay, so lots for organizations. But let's bring it back to you, the listener. If you suspect you've been hit by ransomware, maybe on your personal machine or at work, what should you do? What are the immediate steps?
First thing, isolate. Disconnect the affected machine from the network immediately. Pull the network cable. Turn off the Wi-Fi. Stop it spreading. Second, get help. Contact your IT department or a professional cybersecurity expert right away. Don't try to be a hero. Third, report it. Notify law enforcement. There are specific agencies that handle cybercrime. And fourth, if your organization has one, activate your incident response plan. Follow the procedures laid out. Speed is really of the essence.
Isolate, get help, report, follow the plan. Got it. And what about for small businesses? You know, maybe they don't have a huge IT department or budget. Does this advice still apply?
Absolutely. The principles are the same, even if the scale is different. For small businesses, the basics are crucial. Regular tested backups, make sure you can actually restore from them. Consistent employee training on security awareness. Keep all your software, especially operating systems and browsers, updated. Use strong passwords and MFA wherever possible. And honestly, for many small businesses, looking into managed security services and MSSP can be a really cost-effective way to get expert protection without hiring a full in-house team.
That makes sense. What about cyber insurance? We hear a lot about that. Does it help?
It can, yes. Cyber insurance can definitely help cover some of the costs of recovery, forensic investigation, legal fees, maybe even the ransom if you, against advice, decide to pay. It can also give you access to specialized incident response teams quickly.
Yeah.
But, and this is a big but, it absolutely should complement your security measures, not replace them. Insurers are getting much stricter now, too. They want to see you've got good security in place before they'll even insure you, or certainly before they'll pay out a claim. It's a safety net, not the primary shield.
Right. Insurance helps with the aftermath, but you need the prevention first.
Exactly. And, you know, this whole SafePay situation, if we connect it back to the bigger picture, it kind of shows a trend, doesn't it? We've seen law enforcement take down some big ransomware gangs recently, like Lockbit and ALPHV.
Yeah, those were major takedowns.
They were. But it seems like that disruption, while good, also creates a vacuum. It opens up space for new, maybe even more agile and aggressive groups like SafePay to jump in and fill that void. The ecosystem adapts.
So taking down one group doesn't solve the problem entirely. Others just pop up.
It seems that way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it reinforces that point about double extortion. That's becoming the norm now. So preventing that initial access, catching threats super early before they can steal data, that's more critical than ever. Backups alone just aren't the whole story anymore.
So with threats like SafePay constantly emerging and evolving, how do companies get the help they need? You mentioned cybersecurity firms.
Right. Organizations often need specialized expertise. Firms like Technegian, for example, they offer a whole suite of services designed for this.
Can you give us a sense of what those services typically involve?
Sure. It usually starts with things like vulnerability assessments and penetration testing via APT. That's the find the holes part we talked about. Security audits, testing the VPN, finding weaknesses, and crucially, providing clear plans on how to fix them.
Okay, proactive testing. What else?
Then there's often a 247 Security Operations Center, SSOC. These guys are watching your network around the clock, using advanced tools for threat detection, looking for anomalies, and providing real-time alerts if something suspicious happens.
Constant monitoring. Makes sense.
Absolutely. They also help with incident response planning. Not just having a plan, but customizing it, running drills, making sure there's a rapid response team ready to deploy if an attack does occur. Then there are managed security services, things like managing those EDR systems we mentioned, monitoring network security, handling updates and patching, and finally, that crucial piece, employee security training, comprehensive programs, phishing simulations, workshops to build that human firewall.
So a whole range of services from testing and monitoring to planning and training.
Exactly. It's about building layers of defense.
Okay. So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway here for you listening? What does the Enneagram micro attack and the rise of groups like SafePay really mean in practical terms?
I think the clearest message is that in today's world, cybersecurity isn't, you know, just an IT issue or an optional extra. It is absolutely fundamental. It's essential for business survival, for success, for maintaining trust. It has to be a priority.
Non-negotiable, really.
Pretty much. And maybe a final thought for you to chew on. Given how fast groups like SafePay operate, seemingly independently, and how new threats constantly bubble up, are we doing enough just reacting? What fundamental shifts, maybe in mindset, maybe in technology, do organizations need to make? How do we get ahead of these attacks? How do we move beyond just defense to actually anticipating and ideally deterring them before they even get a foothold in the network? That feels like the really big challenge looking forward.